came to my attention probably a minute ago, maybe 2 minutes ago. At noon tomorrow, we will be at the midway of the month of December, which means that we'll have, but from that point on, 15 and a half days before the end of a horrific year for so many people in this country. And yet, we continue to be told that things are getting better all the time, that the unemployment numbers are better once again. Fewer applications for unemployment have dropped again. Therefore, things must be getting better. You know, I can't remember what the numbers are. Some 14 million unemployed people in this country, probably closer to 22 million. When you take those who have given up looking, that are live beyond their benefits, who are now on the welfare rolls, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we still have 390,000 people last week that applied for unemployment benefits. We spoke last night about the restaurant that opened in June that, thanks to Occupy Wall Street, was forced to go out of business yesterday, putting 70 more people out in the street. Oh, but who cares? Those are just cooks and waitresses. They don't deserve unemployment. Foreclosures have still exceeded 2 million. 2 million homeowners in America were foreclosed on in 2011. But that's okay. Things are getting better because that's only two-thirds of the previous year. But that unless the economy picks up, and I mean really picks up, foreclosures are going to pick up again next year. You still got short sales and pre-short sales and pre-foreclosures and blind inventory that the banks refuse to talk about. Oh, yeah, I'm back in the market looking to buy another place. This time for my son and his girl and my granddaughter, baby Rose. The Iraq War is over. We'll leave 200 advisors there and the rest of them are on the way home. But we're still going to get stuck with a $4 trillion IOU as we spend the rest of their lives bailing them out of a multitude of health problems. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight.
Love will last forever. Goodbye to the big city.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you read the news? Heart disease still the most likely reason you'll die. But people are still not afraid enough. Over 70 million Americans live every day with some form of heart disease, and we accept it as okay. Well, I don't think it's okay, and I'm here to tell you that Extendivite doesn't think it's okay either. Just a few simple herbs can change the way we think about heart disease. Don't just accept it, do something about it. Live a longer, healthier life. Take Extendivite every day. Extend your life with Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Honor, justice, and humanity forbid us tamely to surrender that freedom which we received from our gallant ancestors and which our innocent posterity have a right to receive from us. We cannot endure the infamy and guilt of resigning succeeding generations to that wretchedness which inevitably awaits them if we basely entail heredity bondage on them. Thomas Jefferson, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Article 3. Conditions for quarters of soldiers. No soldier in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Five. No person, capital, or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Article 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witness in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Article 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Article 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Article 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Today, my friends, marks the anniversary of the 1791 ratification of those rights which I've read to you, the Bill of Rights, the common name for the first 10 amendments to our Constitution. The purpose of the bill was and remains to assert the enumeration of limitations on the national government in order to protect our natural rights to liberty and property as endowed by our Creator. There was much debate among our founders about the need to enumerate rights that are inherently endowed, especially as amendments rather than in the corpus of our Constitution. Alexander Hamilton argued this point in Federalist No. 84 when he stated, "I affirm that Bill of Rights are not only unnecessary in the proposed Constitution, but would even be dangerous. For why declare that things shall not be done, which there is no power to do?" But a majority of our founders, led by James Madison and George Mason, prevailed, and the state legislatures concurred with the addition of enumerated limitations on central government as outlined by the Bill of Rights preamble, which states, "The conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added." And thus, my friends, it is a fitting day to pause and take account of the principles of essential liberty embodied in our Constitution, the sustenance for which generations of patriots have expended much treasure, blood, life. As a vigilant student of American history, I cannot state too emphatically that we are at a tipping point between liberty and tyranny. I also argue that this juncture is like no other since the 10th Amendment challenge that was waged and lost in the War of Northern Aggression. For those who choose to read such words as hyperbole, Samuel Adams said it best, "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. But, my friends, it is the inherent nature of genuine patriots to stand ever ready to defend liberty, convicted that, in the words of George Washington, our cause is noble. It is the cause of mankind. It is in that spirit that I offer this observation about this precarious position we now inhabit between freedom and bondage. Do you believe our nation is at a critical juncture? To fully understand the state of our republic, one must consider it in the context of history to avoid repetition. I was speaking with Roger Sales about 2 hours ago in a conference call regarding the book and other issues. And I happened to be perusing something, and Roger, of course, as you well know, loves to give quotations from famous authors, people such as Cicero back in 55 and 56 B.C. and George Santayana. And I discovered something today that I have never been aware of, and he was shocked because he had never been aware of it either. A quotation that is always given out of context. By itself, it has much meaning. In its full context, it has far greater meaning, my friends. As 20th century philosopher George Santayana concluded in his treatise, The Life of Reason, progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. You see how much more profound the statement is in its entirety? It is, I fear, what we may repeat. Vive la Revolution. For those of you who don't speak Chinese, that was a lousy version of a Hollywood French accent. Yes, we are at the precipice. Lord knows what the future may bring. When we return from our break, we're going to be talking about financial criminals and other criminals. And unfortunately, it's all leading toward oppression and other similar issues. Stay with us. We'll be back.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett here. I felt the opening segment of the program was quite fitting. And yet, given all that which Roger Sales and I have tried to share with you these past eight, nearly 9 months, it certainly makes one sit back and raise their eyebrows and consider where we stand as relates to the Bill of Rights today, and I'm not going to spend any more time on it other than to say that how many of those rights have been usurped? A good number of them, it would appear. Watching the news today as the congressional hearings with our Attorney General Holder continues to lie and beat around the bush, and yet they've got emphatic evidence that Gunwalker, one of the objectives of the Fast and Furious, the Gunwalker mechanism, was to set up the premise for further gun control. It's never been questioned where the Obama administration and Holder and many of the other people in that administration stand as relates to gun ownership, that right of the people to keep and bear arms. Well, you know, now they're trying to set up licensed gun dealers in Arizona, those who they approached and said, look, we need you to go ahead and sell guns, as many as you can, keep records, Bob, so we can track these guns. Turns out that they had some other dirtier motives in mind. It's amazing. 60 Minutes Television, a program that is, for the most part, more of a left-leaning program, is finally on to the national fury at the fact that the criminals who brought down the American economy just three short years ago have not been identified personally, nor brought before the bar of justice. But a week after a broadcast that bored in on the issue, interviewer Steve Croft let Barack Obama off the hook when the resident disingenuously stated that the financial shenanigans by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and banking firms were legal, that his administration was instrumental in passing new regulations encompassed in the Dodd-Frank legislation to prevent it from ever happening again. Wait a minute. It is now known that Fannie and Freddie, the government-connected mortgage packaging giants, threw out, at the behest of Congress, the qualifications to allow home ownership for all, an idealistic social goal pushed by Democrats and their cohort rhinos, of course. Going back to Jimmy Carter with the Community Reinvestment Act of 1977, all up to Billy Jeff Clinton in the 1990s, who enlisted Acorn to badger banks to make bad loans to minorities. And finally, to Representative Bonnie Fwenk and his fellow travelers in the 2000s, who put the full weight of the Congress behind the creation of bad mortgage loans. The large investment and commercial banks saw an opportunity and concocted securities backed by dicey subprime loans in which borrowers paid higher interest based on questionable credit. Now, those mortgage-backed instruments were a hot item, and yet when the banks learned that the underlying values had vanished, they lent money to mortgage origination firms to gin up even more bad loans at higher and higher interest rates, all to shape into even more mortgage-backed securities to sell to their customers, and believe it or not, to each other. Right there, my friends, the criminal fraud is manifest, contradicting Obama's claim that the scam was legal. Oh, but contraire, there was more. But wait, if you call now, the banks, knowing that the instruments were worthless, when they sold them to their own clients, purposefully bought insurance, credit default swaps against their own products. And thus they doubly swindled their customers. And they made millions and millions doing it, first on the commissions from the sale, then from their short position as the securities tanked. In 2008, the House of Cards came tumbling down, taking with it the American economy. At the opening of this program this evening, we commented on the foreclosure game in this country. Oh, but things are getting better all the time. Because back then entered Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, former chief of Goldman Sachs, the ubiquitous investment banking firm that has left fingerprints all over the meltdown. They insisted we must save the hides of the big banks, all of his buddies, with the stimulus bailout to rescue the financial system. We'll expound on this a wee bit further when we come back on the other side of the break, and there's lots more coming up at you tonight, right here on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now, 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Coming back at you with a little bit of Errol Garner in the band. Little Ella Fitzgerald. Of course, you don't get to hear her as part of this. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I'm sure that that's not Barney Frank's personal theme song. Talking tonight about the major economic collapse that came about in this country just over 3 years ago. Involvement with some of the marvelous people like Hank Paulson, etc. The bailout was originally stated to be $787 billion. The total, according to Bloomberg Research, reached $11.6 trillion, all secured by you and I. The result was the near destruction of the consumer sector, which represents 80% of this nation's economy. All to save criminals who committed the illegal acts that brought down this economy to begin with. But worse, commercial and community banks are still burdened with bad real estate loans and investments. Consequently, they're under orders from banking regulators not to lend, which further exacerbates the decimation of the middle class and small business owners who cannot find loans to recover and grow. The stimulus should have been distributed via tax breaks, rebates, to households to stimulate consumer spending, which in turn would have stabilized the small business sector that could have kept workers and hired for new positions. Think about it. $11.6 trillion. If you divided that up with each legal family that's in this country and said, go for it and spend it, it would have taken care of business, I'd be willing to bet you. And so one Barack Hussein Obama claims on 60 Minutes that Hank Paulson's policies averted another Great Depression. It was ominously premature. Big bank economists and government policy wonks, they don't understand the U.S. economy, that all new jobs are created by the small business sector. And after 3+ years of pain and suffering, somebody, in the words of the old Hank Williams song, I saw the light. And Obama set out in 2011 to claim that he's now pushing small business recovery to create jobs. And yet his approach widely misses the mark by proposing federal money to create bogus green energy firms like Solyndra. And we spoke about another one last night that's producing a biofuel mixture and selling it to the U.S. Navy at $15 a gallon. Then there's the pitiful and outdated plan to rebuild the nation's infrastructure and dump billions of dollars into high-speed rail transit. Only 40 years too late. You see, Obama and his cohorts, or shall we call them fellow travelers, they like Paulson. And like Paulson, who's now been replaced at Treasury by little Timmy Geithner, another investment bank rent boy from Goldman Sachs. They've not only failed in their approach to the recession, but they may be the architects of an economic calamity more painful than the Great Depression when it's all said and done, folks. The European debt union or debt crisis is... The European Union's debt crisis is just one of the continuing manifestations of a global economic crisis set off by the American financial scandal. And by the way, it was announced today, if I can find this very quickly, of course, just because I want to doesn't mean I will, never fails, you know that. But the Fed apparently loaned a lot. Foreign banks borrowed $54 billion through the Fed. Isn't that neat? Isn't that just peachy? So they've got their problems. Now you add in the inability of real estate values in the United States to recover and unemployment figures that boggle the mind, and the worst is yet to come, and babe, it won't be mine. But the central question Croft asked Obama in that interview must be addressed before Americans can begin to regain hope for the future. What is being done to expose and prosecute the criminals who caused the economic collapse? The Securities and Exchange Commission has tried to wipe the shame from its face by investigating some of the sleazy practices, but this comes well after the fox has left the coop with all the eggs. Oh, indeed, fines have been levied against some of the best-known bank brands in the world. J.P. Morgan, the Pirate Chase, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America. Oh, there's more to come. But the fines are minuscule. They're paltry by comparison. You see, banks are not required to admit guilt. And the individual culprits are not identified. Turns out the SEC cannot bring criminal charges under its charter. And Congress has refused to haul the perps in front of an investigative committee. And then when they do, they play namby-pamby with it, and just like this idiocy going on with Holder. Holder ought to get marched out of Congress in handcuffs, and he ought to get taken right out to the nearest tree and strung up. Of course, Obama dodged and weaved, and he said to 60 Minutes, it's not up to him to punish the culprits. Instead, he throws the ball back into Attorney General Holder's lap, who has yet to bring a single charge against any conspirator for any reason in this country. Especially if they happen to be a person of color. Reality? Yes. Racist statement? Absolutely not. Why are these two and Congress avoiding the justice that Americans demand? Are they under the influence of the mandarins at the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, the New York Fed, who regulate the big New York banks? Do they believe that criminal prosecution or congressional hearings will divulge even more nefarious behavior that could shake financial markers even more? Are they taking hush money, fearful of losing campaign contributions or maybe their jobs? The U.S. may be a polyglot nation today, but even newcomers understand the national belief that justice must be done. And yet the boy wonder refuses to go after the bad guys, to stand up for the people against the crooks on Wall Street who walked away with all of our money derived from a gigantic criminal conspiracy that began in Washington. So patting Steve Croft on the knee and purring that Croft and the public just doesn't understand. Obama's lending credence to the fear that he's a liar with an agenda, hell-bent on a new world order emphasizing big government and the demise of the middle class and small business, the bourgeoisie, as Lenin called it. Obama patted Steve Croft on the knee. I guess his old days of Chicago were rising to the occasion again. Of course, Obama got away with another question from Croft, who asked about the resident's role in the divisiveness in Congress and across the political spectrum. Obama once again took on an avuncular visage and said that the ill will was caused by special interests and the Republicans' refusal to budge on new taxes. Mentions Grover Norquist, an author of the No New Taxes Pledge, taken by a clique of Republican congressmen. Well, come on. Grover Norquist is another sellout one-worlder anyway. That's a little bit of a game play going on there, see, because then we've got our wily and mendacious resident who then fails to mention his role in dividing the country by introducing his health care plan when citizens were reeling from the first throes of the financial meltdown. Oh, indeed, my friends, it was the resident and a Democratic-controlled Congress who split the country with Obamacare, a far-reaching and frighteningly expensive overhaul that challenges core constitutional and free market values held strongly by most Americans. And it was Obama who added to the disharmony on spending cuts in the budget by failing to acknowledge the findings of the Debt Reduction Commission that he created, co-chaired by Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson. As an old friend once said of a cheater, he bears watching. Obama, of course, but personally, I don't care to watch him. But then you see the Republic rats in Congress, they're not helping. They continue to refuse to take initiative on spending, except to stonewall any compromise, compounding the danger that Obama could win again in 2012 as the manic contest for the Republican presidential nomination that is exposing each candidate to merciless attacks by his or her own brothers and sisters. And I think the next round of debates starts in here, what, about 20 minutes or something like that? Maybe it's an hour and 20 minutes. Doesn't matter. They're not debates. They're a damn joke. But then, let me see, they're not going after the focal point, which is to get Obama out of office. No, it's much easier to attack each other. You see, the voting public sits back and watches with distress as the office seekers fall, taking with them another slice of credibility for the Republic rats. Front runners Rick Perry and Herman Cain, they've fallen, leaving space for little Newty Getrich to challenge little Mitt Romney. The one candidate who could beat Obama? I don't think so. I don't think Mitt Romney could beat Obama. I don't even think Mitt Romney could beat a guy who was trying to rape his wife. And so with congressional Republicans in gridlock and the presidential primary candidates committed to a mutual suicide pact society, the unopposed Obama is avoiding the harsh light of scrutiny when it's needed the most. Hang on to your hat if he wins again, and I predict that he will. And so now we take a look at the Bill of Rights. Not directly, but very indirectly. Through the eyes and the actions and the manifestations of one Barack Hussein Obama, the man who is an absolute disaster as relates to our civil liberties. I submit to you that he may in fact prove to be the most singular disastrous president in history in terms of civil liberties. With this upcoming election 10.5 months away, the country is again caught up in debating national security issues, our ongoing wars, the threat of terrorism. There is one related subject, however, that is rarely mentioned, and it is our civil liberties. Protecting individual rights and liberties, apart from the right to be tax-free, seems barely relevant to candidates or voters. One man is primarily responsible for the disappearance of civil liberties from the national debate, and that man's name is Barack Hussein Obama. And while many are reluctant to admit it, Obama has proved a disaster, not just for specific civil liberties, but the civil liberties cause in the United States of America alone. You see, civil libertarians have long had a dysfunctional relationship with the Democratic Party, which treats them as a captive voting bloc with nowhere else to turn in elections. Not even this history, however, prepared civil libertarians for Obama. After the George W. Bush years, they were ready to fight to regain ground lost after September 11th. Historically, the country has tended to correct periods of heightened police powers with a pendulum swung back toward greater individual rights. Many were questioning the extreme measures taken by the Bush administration, especially after the disclosure of abuses and illegalities, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, etc., etc. And candidate Boy Obama capitalized on this swing and portrayed himself as the champion of civil liberties, a type of modern-day Moses, if you will. However, Obama not only retained the controversial policies once he took up residency in the White House, he expanded on them. The earliest and most startling move came quickly. Soon after his election, various military and political figures reported that Obama reportedly promised Bush officials in private that no one would be investigated or prosecuted for torture. In his first year, Obama made good on that promise, announcing that no CIA employee would be prosecuted for torture. Later, his administration refused to prosecute any of the Bush officials responsible for ordering or justifying the program and embraced the just following orders defense for other officials, the very defense rejected by the United States at the Nuremberg trials after World War II. Obama failed to close Guantanamo Bay as promised. Decision on that one is still out to lunch. But he continued warrantless surveillance and military tribunals that denied defendants their basic rights. He asserted the right to kill United States citizens that he views as terrorists. His administration has fought to block dozens of public interest lawsuits challenging privacy violations and presidential abuses. But perhaps the biggest blow to civil liberties is what he has done to the movement itself. It is quieted to a whisper, muted by the power of Obama's personality and his symbolic self-importance as the first black president. Well, I'm not sure that he's the president, and I certainly don't think he's black. But that's in addition to the liberal who replaced Bush, because that's predominantly what he's become. Oh, indeed, only a few days after taking office, the Nobel Committee awarded Barack Hussein Obama the Nobel Peace Prize without his having a single accomplishment to his credit beyond being elected. Many Democrats were and remain enraptured, all the while the entirety of the American public is being ruptured. You know, it's almost a classic case of the Stockholm Syndrome, in which a hostage bonds with his captor despite the obvious threat to his existence. Even though many Democrats admit in private that they are shocked by Obama's position on civil liberties, they are incapable of opposing him. Some insist that they are simply motivated by realism. A Republican would be worse. However, realism alone cannot explain the utter absence of a push for an alternative Democratic candidate or organized opposition to Obama's policies on civil liberties in Congress during this term. Looks more like a cult of personality. Obama's policies have become secondary to his persona. And yet, ironically, had Obama been defeated in 08, it is likely that an alliance for civil liberties might have coalesced and effectively fought the government's burgeoning police powers. Well, looks like an awful lot of Americans, nearly 50% of them, began asking that question in 2003, believe that the federal government poses an immediate threat to individuals' rights and freedoms, and what took place this week has proven that to be the case. We'll be right back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Nights I could very easily do 2 hours. I guess to some degree, much of what we're discussing in these final waning moments of tonight's program, in effect, has got much to do with the violation of the Bill of Rights, violation of the people, violation of our trust. We send these people to Washington to represent us, to represent the nation, not to represent Zapati. You look at all these various violations, civil rights violations. The Obama administration long ago made a cynical calculation that it already has such voters in the bag and tacked to the right on this issue to show that Obama was not soft on terror. He assumed that once again civil libertarians might grumble and gripe, but come election day next year, they would not stay home. But that calculation may be wrong. Obama may have flown by the fail-safe line, especially when it comes to waterboarding. For a lot of civil libertarians, it's going to be virtually impossible to vote for someone who has flagrantly ignored the Convention Against Torture or its underlying Nuremberg principles or the U.S. Constitution and its Bill of Rights. As Obama and Attorney General Eric H. Holder have admitted, waterboarding is clearly torture and has been long defined as such by both international and U.S. courts. It's not only a crime, it's a war crime. And by blocking the investigation and prosecution of those responsible for torture, Obama violated international law, reinforced other countries in refusing investigation of their own alleged war crimes. This administration magnifies the damage by blocking efforts of other countries like Spain from investigating our alleged war crimes. And it goes on and on and on. And so in time, my friends, the election of Barack Hussein Obama may stand as one of the single most devastating events in our history for civil liberties. And now he has begun campaigning for a second term, as he's been doing for not just months, but probably since the day he stepped into the White House. Now, what's he going to be doing? Once again, selling himself more than his policies. Hopefully, he'll be likely to find many civil libertarians who are simply not buying into his brand of doo-doo one more time. We, of course, don't have enough time to get into the signing and the passage of other bills this week, which are eroding our freedoms, our liberties. And the average American sits back and doesn't have a clue and doesn't raise enough hell with their elected officials. Stripped is what we are. We're running around naked. I might suggest you go to surfsup.com. S-E-R-F-S, like a slave. S-E-R-F-S-UP.com. Roger Sales' new book is out there. It's available. We began taking orders Tuesday. We'll begin shipping tomorrow. The book is entitled From Sovereign to Serf. Go to the page, surfsup.com. Read the reports, the book reviews on the book. Get your orders in. Credit card, debit card. There's ways to do it by check, by money order. Roger will be joining us for a very special two-part installment next week right here on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz on Wednesday and Thursday. For tonight, I'm done. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me. Until we meet again, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. I got you and all that jazz.
Gold, ever climbing.